One of those laws is this law of the birthright. It's divided into two parts. There is the birthright privilege, and there is the birthright blessing. This morning we talked about the birthright privilege under which all men operate, and that is that God's love for all men is equally bestowed upon all men due to His grace and never due to His merit. That God's love is unchanging. It neither goes up nor down, nor can it be influenced by us to increase or decrease. You cannot be good and gain more of God's love, or be bad and decrease God's love. The birthright privilege is that God's love remains static and equal for us at all times due to His grace. He loves us because He wants to. He loves us because He desires to. Now we come to the birthright blessing. And just because a person is loved by God, there is no guarantee he shall receive of that love the birthright blessing. Now there is a slogan that I mentioned this morning in closing, "Smile, God loves you," and that is a very true statement. It tells about the birthright privilege. Yes, God does love you. No matter how bad or low you may become, smile, God does love you. But if that's all you ever become is loved by God, when it comes to eternity, that love will not do you any good. The birthright blessing is not guaranteed to all those who are guaranteed the birthright privilege. The birthright blessing is offered to those who would like to have the blessing. The privilege is given whether you want it or not, God loves you. Whether you appreciate it or not, God loves you. But God will not give His birthright blessing if you do not want it and will not appreciate it. And the birthright blessing, really, when it all boils down to it, is far more important than knowing God loves you. Well, you see, knowing that God loves you and other people is not enough when it comes to your eternal destiny. Now, the love of God, I believe, provides daily mercies for all people, the wicked and the good. The crops of all people get sunshine. God's love brings mercies. But God's love will never ensure all will have the birthright blessing. No matter if God loves you, you can still perish. No matter if God loves you, you can still miss the blessing He really wants to give you. The mercies you will get anyway. The blessings you will not. Now we use this morning the story of Esau to illustrate the law of the birthright. Tonight, if Esau was alive and was a member of this church and was living in the community and was not working in some plant tonight but was free, Esau would not be here. Not that Esau was a bad man, not an immoral man, but Esau would not be here tonight. Nor would you look for Esau next Sunday morning or the next Sunday night. You might have a tremendous burden. And sometimes I feel like that many people in this church, I call my trophies, which are you tonight, fail to catch God's burden for the Esau. And my wife says you can mention going to church too much, but I want to say something, folks. When you got a burden, there's not much you can do with it but share it. And God has a burden. Now you can take the attitude, well, tough luck. Don't bother me with your misery, God. But God has a burden. For you see, whenever you have a prodigal son, the father's upset. So sometimes God takes his burden and tries to share it with other people because, you see, that's the way the burden can be relieved. And Esau is the kind of person that will present a burden. That is, if you care. But because God loves, God has to care. Now, if I don't love the people of this church, then I don't have to care. I don't care if they ever come. If they go to heaven, I don't care. But if I have the love of God, I have to care. And you just can't write them off and say, forget it. Now, God has a lot of Esau's he has to deal with. And we're a lot like Jacob. We got brothers and sisters who are a lot like Esau. What was wrong with Esau? He did not want the birthright blessing. Let's look at it. Let's study Esau. What is the birthright blessing? Some people ask the question, well, what did it for me? Just recently I was reading a book and trying to motivate people and give them a reason that they would buy to be persuaded, often against their will, to change their mind and give in and come to church. How can you persuade those that don't want to come? What can you induce them with, entice them with? And the book said one of the greatest ways that you can induce and persuade people is to give them a benefit that they would like to have. Dangle before them something that they couldn't live without. Make them want what you have to offer. And so I scratch my head and I say, well, God, what have you got that people want? And they want it right now. It's a good question. It's a good question. What do you have tonight, Jesus, that I can go and give people that they'll want right now? Oh, not 50 years down the road when they kick the bucket, but what do I have to give them right now? I scratch my head, you know, and I say, I don't know if I have anything to give them right now. They really can't do without. Oh, I got a lot to offer them, but I'm not sure they would say, well, I can do without that. Because I look at old Esau, and every time I think of something to offer Esau, he said, I can do without that. I don't need that right now. Maybe a little later, a little older, a little more trouble, but not right now. I don't need that. What else you got to give me? Well, what did God promise to give in His blessing that's a birthright blessing? Well, it's four things in the birthright blessing that was offered to Esau, and I think they're still offered by God to mankind if they want them. Keep in mind that God thinks these blessings are fantastic. God thinks that they're wonderful. That man ought to just stand in line and wait their turn to get their portion of the birthright blessing. Now, in the case of Esau, the first benefit concerned a material inheritance. Now, that'll perk anybody's ears up. You're talking about the now. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Then there were three other benefits, but they all concerned spiritual inheritance. One, material inheritance, and the other three, spiritual inheritance. In other words, the birthright blessing was heavily swayed to the side of spiritual benefits. What were they? Promise number one was the promise of a double portion, double dip. I used to love to go to the store and get a double dip ice cream cone. That was the best kind. That was better than the one dipper. Now, the firstborn son of a Hebrew family had the birthright blessing. That meant that when the father died, he would get twice as much of the father's material wealth as the other children would get. It was settled. This was the law of the land that he would get twice the bounty of his father's possessions. Material things. Promise number two. There was the promise of the eventual Holy Land. Now, I put that word eventual. There was the promise of the eventual Holy Land. Now, this is part of the spiritual inheritance. God first promised Abraham a land on this earth that would be just for him and his descendants. Then, following that, he said this promise will be transferred from first son to first son to first son to first son until one day it shall be given you as your land, your Holy Land, God's kingdom on earth. Esau followed Abraham, Isaac, son Esau. He was promised that he would have a part in keeping alive the dream that there would be a kingdom of God on earth and he would be a significant part of it. To us today, he was offered heaven by and by. Well, that's pretty good. Because you see, he was being offered a land that would be free of the ravages and curses of sin. It would be God's own homeland on earth. That you and I are looking forward to in the coming of Jesus and the establishment of the kingdom of God upon earth for 1,000 years. All right? Promise number three, the promise of the priesthood position. Now, before the tribes of Israel were established, many years on down the road, there were no priests in the families. But the firstborn son was always given the right of the priesthood of the family. When the father died, he would take over as priest. What did that mean? The priest had the access to the throne of God. The priest and the priest alone could intercede for the people. And so here was another part of the spiritual inheritance. The firstborn would have the right to mediate for the family between them and God. He alone could walk and talk with the Lord. We see Isaac doing this in Genesis 26, performing this very role of the priest of the family for his wife and servants and for his children, Esau and Jacob. But when Isaac died, it would be Esau's role. Look at you at 26, verses 24. And the Lord appeared unto Isaac. Oh, what a privilege, you see, the spiritual inheritance. It lets the Lord come to you. And the Lord appeared to Isaac that night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Hear now, Isaac, for I am with you. Oh, what closeness you can have with God as a priest, as the priest. Fear not, I am with you, and I will bless you, and I'll multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Then you see him performing the worship of a priest. He built an altar there, and he called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there. And there they dug a well, and they were refreshed. God blessed, because Isaac had the privilege of talking to God. In other words, he was guaranteed the inheritance of an audience with the Lord. Promise number four, the promise of the messianic lineage. This was especially true in the case of Esau. God promised Abraham, and through Abraham, Isaac, and through, of course, the one in line after Isaac, and on down, there would come through that line of ancestry the Messiah. He was saying the man with the birthright blessing of Esau would be related to God Almighty. How about that? Jesus could say, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy was Esau. God Almighty related to you. So God said that being a direct descendant was one of the blessings of the birthright blessing. In other words, it'd be through his lineage that the messianic hope would be kept alive. And what was that? That man would someday be saved from his sins by God. And Esau would have a direct hand in the salvation of the world. And summarize now what we have here in the birthright blessing. First, there was a material inheritance which was double the father's possessions. Then there followed three spiritual inheritances. All in the by and by. All in the by and by, aren't they? He'd have part in establishing God's kingdom. He'd be a part of it. Number two, he would have the privilege of meeting and walking and talking with God daily. And thirdly, he would have a part in being related to God and being a part of the salvation of all mankind. Now, what's the benefit, God, that you're going to give me tonight to induce me to go to church? Well, you say, how about a double portion of your father's inheritance? Huh, that sounds pretty good. You promise me? No. But you see, that really wouldn't interest you too much because you say, well, you know, we draw out wills now, Lord, and that sort of takes preference over whatever you got to say in the book. Now, the book may say, I got double portion, but my brother and my sister, they're going to think otherwise in the book. So really, you know, you're not offering me any benefit, and you know, Lord, my folks don't have anything anyway. And so a double portion of nothing is still nothing. What else you got to give me, God, that would benefit me right now? Tell me, God. Esau's listening. And you can have a part in establishing a kingdom to come in which you can live. Not interested.
I mean, I'm not interested. Man, that's too far down the road. Give me something more tangible. What else you got? Well, you can have a part in the salvation of mankind, and you can be related to God personally. Not interested. Oh, what's the big deal about that? What else you got? Well, you can talk to God every day and meet with Him, and you can intercede for other people. Forget it. I don't care about other folks anyway. I got my own worries and my own needs and my own pleasures. What else you got? Can you make me any richer today? Can you heal my old poor knuckles today? Can you put more meat on my table today? Can you give me a new car today? Can you give me $1 million in heritage today? What can I get today? And God says, nothing. Nothing. If what I've got to offer you don't want, nothing. And the way Esau said, that's what I figured. I got what I want. What do Esau have? What do you have? Got my bow. And I got me a lot of deer-held walls. Boy, my daddy loves me. Because, you see, I'm a hunter. Boy, I love to hunt. That's my life. I live to string my bow and bring down the doe. Or, what's the male call? I don't even call it buck. There you go. To bring down, I don't want much of a deer hunter. Anyway, I live for my hunting. I enjoy getting out in the woods. And that's how I spend my time. It's my pleasure. What else in there is in there in life but to enjoy yourself? What else you like, Esau? I like to eat. Man, I love to eat. Between my hunting and eating, there's not much else I really like to do. I'm not a woman chaser. Don't like that too much. I'm not immoral. I'm not a wicked person. I'm not mean. I'm not a drunkard. I don't like booze. I'm not a crooked person. I'm not a lazy person. I like to hunt, boy. That's work. Getting out there and walking all over those mountains and hills hunting for deer. That's work. And you got to kill one and you got to drag it back home. They didn't have a four-wheel Jeep then, you know. And so I'm not a lazy person. I'm not a treacherous person. That was old Jacob. Man, he was treacherous. But I'm not the treacherous. I'm none of those things. Well, what was it? Well, what did the Bible say he was? Look at Hebrews 12:16. Hebrews 12:16. You might say this would be the epitaph that would go on his tombstone. You want to know what kind of man he was? Hebrews 12:16. The writer of Hebrews is warning the church here about becoming certain kind of people. And he says, and do not become profane like Esau. There's the word. Oh, he wasn't a bad person, but he was a profane person. You mean what his problem was? He talked profanity. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he was a profane person. Didn't use bad language. That's not the point of being profane. But notice, he was a profane person. Verse 16. Who for one morsel of meat, one bowl of soup, sold his birthright blessing. There wasn't anything wrong with this guy. He might win the good guy of the war, of the year war. I mean, he cared for his folks. He loved his daddy. He brought meat to the table. Wasn't anything wrong with him. Or at least it was. He was a profane person. And it was his profaneness that cost him his birthright blessing. We need to understand the life of Esau because it's the life of so many people. And if not careful, it'll be our life. Esau was a hunter. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong going deer hunting. Now, that's not what I'm preaching tonight. But this was his life. This is what he lived for. This was his purpose for living, to enjoy himself to the fullest. To be concerned only about those things that would please and benefit him for the very moment. Few things really seemed, I think, more important to Esau than a full stomach and a good hunting trip. I believe he lived to hunt and he lived to eat. And that's really about all he lived for. He lived for himself. You might say he was the beginner of the philosophy of eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow. You just might die. The only interest he had was for the present moment. It was earthly all the way. What can I get right here, right now, that'll make me happy? Tell me and I'll listen to you. A lot of folks like that, just like that. I think of Esau, we might say this little story, only one life will soon be passed. Each day must bring me some new blast. Jacob had a different philosophy of life. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for the Lord will last. That was the difference between the two boys. You see, the Esau life was for self-enjoyment. And that's all it was for. It was to have pleasures from all the material surroundings and things that captivated your interest.
and leaving alone all those things that did not interest you. The Bible said of a person like that, he is a profane person. What does the word profane mean? Now, it's a word that if I remember, I've never used until tonight. The word profane means, according to the dictionary, a person who is not concerned about spiritual matters. You know that? It is a person who has contempt for what is holy. I might say, folks, this is the Lord's holy day. Say what you want to. Esau would say, I have contempt for what is holy. Profane means a disregard for spiritual opportunities. Profane means that one has no admiration for spiritual blessings the Lord wants to give. It means one who has no time for eternal thoughts or for eternal interest. So often people say, well, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to go to church. What are you doing? Well, I'm out hunting deer and feeding my belly. Esau was just like that. But the Bible says Esau was profane. I didn't say it, the Bible did. I don't define the word profane, the dictionary does. It's a person who has no eternal thoughts and interest. It's a person who has no feelings for the feelings of God. It always bothers me when people don't have feelings for the feelings of other people. When they can be sarcastic and rude and bring tears to other people's eyes, that bothers me. When people cease to have feelings for the feelings of others, that's not love. You can call anything you want to, but that's not love. People may say they love God, but the profane man has no feelings for God. He's not concerned if God is upset with him, if God is grieved, he does not care. The profane man is one who has no interest in God's desires either. Many people say, well, I know I'll do this, and I know I'll do that. I know that should be my desire, but like Esau, they're out chasing rabbits and looking for some new recipe. Because he was profane, the Bible says, for one bowl of soup, he sold his eternal blessing birthright. He preferred the pleasures of the moment. He preferred what the world could give him for the moment at the cost of his entire future. And he did that every day. As far as I know, the day he died, that was his living philosophy. The Bible says he did eat and drink, and he rose up, and he went his way. Untroubled, unconcerned, unbothered, no guilt about giving away his birthright blessing. And the Bible says he despised his birthright. To Esau, that was no loss at all. That was a wise bargain. For what was his birthright blessing compared to a bowl of hot soup when you're hungry? There was nothing in the birthright blessing that interested Esau, for he was not a spiritual man. As far as the double portion, he'd have to wait till Isaac died. That wouldn't do him any good right now. And as far as having a part in building the kingdom of God, he didn't want any part. If it involved tying up his time and allegiance to God, as far as having a relationship to the Son of God, he didn't want that either. As far as having access to the throne of God as the family priest, he wasn't interested in prayer privileges. In other words, God didn't have anything that Esau wanted. And so Esau said, why shouldn't I get rid of my birthright blessing for a bowl of hot soup? A bowl of hot soup is worth more than what God has to give me right now in this life. And so Esau, because he was not the least bit interested in spiritual things, is called in the Bible a profane man. He said to Jacob, I've come in from a big hunt, bad time, no deer, man, I'm tired, and I'm famished, and all my food ran out, and I'm about to starve to death. And so he passed by the tent and he smelled, I don't know how well Jacob could cook, but he smelled old Jacob's cooking. And you know, he just directed his own nose to follow that smell. Now, there was his tent, and there was Papa's and Mama's tent, and there were all the servants' tents, and I don't figure all those were on starvation. Well, he just happened to pass by, and there was old Jacob's tent. And he looked over there, and there was Jacob cooking the sorriest meal you can cook. I mean, old Jacob didn't care much about what he ate, I guess. Didn't have a big old filet mignon out there or a camel steak, you know. I mean, all he had was a pot of bean soup. I'd have been Isaac crawled next to me. I'd have crawled. But he was red in color, and he was red. That was his nickname. And he said, "Me red, trade you for that red stuff." And Jacob said, "I'll be glad to give you some if you'll give me your birthright." Jacob didn't offer him much. But you know, the world doesn't offer much either to folks, and they take it as a bargain and trade for their birthright blessing. Well, Jacob said, "I'm hungry right now, and I want to eat right now, and that's it. I do what I do, and I won't do it, and I won't do it right now. I don't want to wait till I get to Papa's tent. I don't want to wait till I cook my own meal. I want something right now, and I get what I want when I want it right now. And I want some of your soup right now, and I'll pay anything for it." In other words, he was controlled by his obsessions. His appetites controlled him. He just did whatever his appetites wanted, and he demanded that it be done right then. And so he said to Jacob, "Okay, my birthright doesn't mean anything to me. I'll be happy to trade with you and give it to you. A bowl of soup for my birthright. Good deal. Let's do it." And he ate the soup and rose up and he went his merry way, and Jacob got the birthright. Now, old Isaac said, "The birthright won't increase my wages any. Won't increase my inheritance any. I'll get my double portion anyway. I'll figure out a way." He went back to his daddy in the end to get it too. Phil thought he was going to get the double portion. He wanted the blessing of his papa Isaac's inheritance. That's all he wanted. He didn't get that though. Now you see, Esau said it's more profitable to sacrifice the spiritual in order to gain the material pleasures for the moment. That's what a lot of Esau's are doing tonight, folks. They're sacrificing the spiritual long-range gains to satisfy the present momentary pleasure. Esau died one day, and he didn't have the birthright blessing. He didn't care about spiritual things. As far as I know, he still doesn't care about spiritual things. But it's too late. It's too late. There are a lot of folks today that take no thought about the future. Take no thought about making plans for eternity. All they're wrapped up in is what the world can give them right now. They're interested in inheriting God's kingdom or knowing God's Son as a relationship, as a personal brother, as the groom. They're not interested in knowing Jesus. And they're not interested in making any plans for the salvation of other people. But they are interested in what the world offers them. And sometimes it's a mighty small pot of beans that they'll trade for at the moment. Now, the birthright privilege in closing says God loves you, but the birthright blessing says that God has something for you because He loves you that's really of great value to Him. He says that He wants to give unto us the same blessing that He offered to Esau. And I believe He offers to all mankind because He loves all mankind. Future is when our blessings will be ours primarily. I think you'll get in this life as a child of God a double portion of the Father's blessings. What do you mean? I believe you'll get the first portion as God's mercy gifts. You'll get those anyway. You'll get those. Esau went on killing deer in good health, eating bean soup. You'll get the first share anyway. There's a double portion. And in this life, God does give gifts to His children. I can't guarantee what you'll get, but I'll say this. There's a double portion. You'll get more as a child of God right now, right this minute, benefits for the present moment in material and otherwise that you wouldn't get without God's blessing. I believe that. You're better off today, a child of God, materially, which you would be without Him. I believe this. Now, I also believe that God has something else that He wants to give you. Number one, I want you to have a part in my kingdom, He says. My kingdom. Secondly, I want you to be related to my Son. That's important to me. I want you to come to know my Son as your personal relation. Be kin to Him. And we are. We are. We're His bride and we're His brother. I know that's contradictory terms, but that's what we are. We both have the same Father. And then He says, I want you to have access to me night or day, that we can talk to each other. I want those to be your privileges right now, but they'll be your privileges eternally also. But mainly the blessings that I offer you are future. All I can say in closing is we should place value on spiritual things. We should have time for spiritual obligations. We should not turn our back on the part in which we are to play to bring about the kingdom, to intercede for others, and to be a fit bride for Jesus Christ in our relationship. We are not to settle for the soup bowls the world offers us, which I think sometimes can be awful trivial. The funny newspapers can sometimes be the pot of soup. Or chat with a friend, or a jog around the block. I Sometimes come to church, see somebody jogging, and I just think to myself, what a pity, what a pity. What good will your jogging do you if you don't have the spiritual blessing of the kingdom to come, of knowing the Son as your personal relationship, and having intercession with God right now? But you see, folks don't have any thoughts about the future. No matter how much God loves a person, without securing the blessing, God's love will not do you any good. Sometimes we get the idea that God's love makes us a privileged character. No, it doesn't. God's love invites you to be a consecrated character, to help bring about the promise of the birthright blessing. I want to say in closing about Jacob, he had the right heart. He went about it the wrong way, but he had the right heart. Out in the desert, when running from Esau, because Esau was mad at him for getting the blessing, he wasn't interested in the double portion. That's all Esau wanted. You think about it, Esau didn't get the double portion, he got it all. He got everything his daddy Isaac had because Jacob ran for his life to another country. And oh, Esau got it all. That's all he wanted. But out there in the desert, Jacob said, not to God, oh God, I want my portion of Papa's land. He wrestled with God and he said, God, I'll not let you go till you bless me. Till you bless me. I don't care about daddy's land. What I want to do is be a part of the coming kingdom. I want to know the Savior. I want to be a part of the salvation of mankind. And I want to know you, God, personally. I'm interested in you. And I won't let you go until I get the blessing. And God blessed you. God blessed you. I want to ask you tonight, folks, what do you want? Just the birthright privilege? Or do you want the birthright blessing with you? You'll have to come to God like Jacob did. You won't have to wrestle with him. But you have to say, God, you got something I want. I want to be a part of it. And I'll not let you go till you've given me my birthright blessing. Till you make me related to your Son, Jesus Christ. What I'm saying, God, is I'll give my life to you to be a part of your program. In return for a place in the kingdom. In return for being related to your Son. In return for the privilege of talking daily with you to get you daily blessing. I'll make the sacrifice of the worldly pots of soup when need be to help carry out your program. Now, God, would you take me on those terms? And God says, you bet I will. I'll take you. And you have been given the birthright blessing. Father, we're thankful tonight again for the patience of your people. And it's easy to be critical of other people and of people like Esau. But, God, if we're honest, we'll have to admit that oftentimes we get a lot like Esau ourselves. And we lose sight of the value and the benefit of the eternal things. And all we can see is the brief moment of pleasure, the little pot of hot soup that never will satisfy a man eternally. If there's one this night in this service that does not know you, does not have a part in your kingdom, and does not know your Son Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and does not truly have an access to your throne, and they'd like to, Father, we want them to know tonight that they already are loved by you. You died upon the cross that they might have the birthright blessing. There's no reason why tonight that you don't want to give it, but you stand ready to give the blessing to those that will ask for it. And if there's one that would like to ask for it, Father, we hope they'll do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.